Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Thanks for being with us. We are now speaking about Black economic empowerment with Dr. Ntabiseng Moleko, the chair of the National Empowerment Fund. She's extremely accomplished, and if I went through all her titles, we would be here until at least 8 o'clock. Dr. Moleko, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. You've said that in order to revive South Africa's economy, there needs to be acting in unison and focusing on triple BEE. Tell us about that.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. I think it's a really important discussion because BEE has really come under severe attack. I think we've seen it globally with a lot of misinformation about what transformation is. And I think we really need to talk about what are the imperatives. But also, secondly, we've seen South Africa in what we call a low-growth trap. And this has been the South African outcome in terms of economic outcomes from a policy perspective. And I believe one of the fundamental pillars that erodes growth is an inhibiting factor for growth is the fact that we don't have economic participation visibly across the different provinces, and we don't have economic participation strongly across the majority of South Africans, and those are Black South Africans, particularly the youth and women. And so you find that the majority of people who are in the South African economy are actually not economically active. And therefore, mm-hmm. you need to have real instruments that deliberately attempt to redress those structural inequalities that are not there by chance, but are actually there because they were by design. Mm-hmm. And so the article is arguing that triple BEE is justice. It may need to be reviewed, improved, made better, but we do need a form of redress to address the inequality that is so pervasive. And it's been proven by the G20 panel of experts when they looked at global inequality, including South Africa. Inequality is worsening, and South Africa is the worst inequality in the world. And for us to erode away such a critical instrument, legal instrument, that enables redress, I think we would be doing ourselves no favors there.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Moleko, if we're speaking about redress and Black economic empowerment, what form are you discussing? What is that way of making sure that people who were systematically excluded are included in a sustainable way?
So I think let's talk to where does it emanate from? Triple BEE and the legislative imperative is a constitutional imperative. It's inherited from the equality clause in the Constitution, which outlines that because of the unfair discrimination or the historical discrimination that we know we suffered, there's various legislative pieces historically that we all know, either removing people or having jobs reserved purely for white populations, or the type of education that Black Africans were subjected to, which was inferior. And all of these culminated to a population that was economically reduced to being cheap labor. Not only cheap labor, they were unable to be productive participants and own sections of the economy. And in particular, not even own, they were not allowed to participate in, even as employees, in sections of the economy. So the tool, the instrument that was agreed, and I think it was what we call at 1994, between, of course, the Triple BEE Act was a creature of 2004. But what was agreed in principle was a rainbow type of an agreement to say we won't have war, but what we will do is, as a country, we will come together and try and address the anomalies of the past and not forcefully take land or forcefully take assets, but through incentive-based type ownership. And that's what Triple BEE is. Incentive-type based ownership, trying to engage the private sector, that try to engage the current owners of capital and ensure that the redress occurs through skills development, through management, through ownership, through enterprise supply development programs and preferential procurement. So all of these mix of instruments within Triple BEE, employment equity is another act which is a tool which is being used for redress. So all of these instruments, if you ask me, what are the instruments? These are the instruments. And I think that, of course, there have been rightful cries to say, who have been the beneficiaries? Have we had wide enough reach? Are we happy with the measurement of success and the impact? How do we then improve, you know, the impact of these variables? So all of these pockets of instruments that are being used through the scorecard, through the balanced scorecard, and the measures to try to advance redress, I think are very critical in transforming both the private sector, the public sector, and ensuring that the economic ownership patterns are changed. Mm-hmm. If we don't have these instruments, we're left with market forces that are not able to do structural inequality redress, as we have seen, particularly when South Africa was having a high growth period and there was really no trickle down. The wealthy simply got wealthier, and inequality and poverty numbers showed us that.
Dr. Moleko, an argument that comes up when people speak about Black economic empowerment is that it's over 30 years, the majority of South Africans are not well off, are actually poor, cannot afford basics, and the model of the, and it's a very crude argument, but I think it should be advanced, that the majority of people who've benefited from Black economic empowerment are politicians in the first instance, and then business people. And I think it's also business people of all races, because people have also figured out a way to game the system. I don't like using the word tenopreneur because I feel like it's got other implications. But that BE is not working. I know some political parties say that you actually need to go on a merit basis and forget about race and look at need. What's your response to that?
So I think that the central issue in South Africa is that we're not growing. Mm-hmm. And the result of the fact that the economy is not growing, it's not widening. Many people are not able to not only attract economic, get jobs, but they're economically inactive.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that the way that South Africa has grown is that the sectors that have largely grown are services sector. They're not industrialization. We have deindustrialized. Manufacturing sector has contracted from above 25-26% prior to 94. We're sitting at around 14-16%, depending on the years you look at, in the last 5 years. We are contracting. You're seeing that infrastructure is being eroded. Infrastructure is a good enabler to productivity. All of these factors, the cost of doing business in South Africa, because energy tariffs are ridiculously high and the rate at which, let's say, energy is increasing. Not only the fact that for a period energy was not available and you had to find alternative sources, but all of these input costs made the prices of things more expensive, and they actually slowed down the growth of the economy and thereby hindering the ability of South African economic output to expand. Now, this is an issue of what are the issues around why we are not growing. And the crude argument that you put to me initially, I believe that a lot of people are misconstruing the reasons for lack of growth and the issues around redress. Those are two discussions that are not necessarily the same thing. You may want to say, let's widen access. Let's ensure that more people, which is a valid argument, we want to see the majority of our people having skills. We want to see the majority of our people accessing financial sector assets so that they can own parts and portions of the economy, and that's what we want. All of these are around the issue of Black participation in the economy. Why is this important? Because inequality in the economy has been proven theoretically to actually lessen the rate of growth, and also it is not good for growth. So you have to deal with inequality because it actually, it is an inhibitor to growth. However, the factors that drive growth, which is infrastructure development, which is functioning municipal services, having roads if you're a farmer, having access to water and energy if you're a producer, having access to human capital, which means the skills in our country and the competencies of our population, whether you're a youth, whether you're growing up in a rural area, township, or you go to a former Model C or private school. We need the human capital factor to be able to be productive. And because of the type of quality of education we're seeing, it isn't able to be a positive. So that is not because of triple BE. That is not because of transformation. That is a function of the capacity of the state. That is a function of the capacity of institutions. Institutions are eroded because of management and leadership, because of the strategies that governments employ. And having a developmental state requires that you have a capable and efficient government and efficient institutions that are able to produce and provide services to the population, to the business sectors, and also to investors. All of these factors determine whether or not you're going to attract foreign direct investment and or you are going to drive out foreign direct investment, and you will lose it to other emerging market economies that are seen as more attractive. Mm-hmm. That is not a function of triple BE. So I'm saying that we want to improve triple BE. I agree with the people that say, let's make sure that wider reach of people is met. That is why broad-based empowerment is important, and enterprise supply development programs are important, skills development programs in the townships, in the rural areas where there is higher rate of poverty and inequality. It's very pervasive. So I think we need to differentiate between growth and redress. But growth is not happening because of very clear fundamentals that we do not have correct, whether it's human capital, whether it's the state capacity, whether it's the rate at which infrastructure need to be developed, that is costing us growth, not triple BE. BE will right. help us to have a wider group of people economically participating.
Dr. Ntabiseng Moleko, Chair of the National Empowerment Fund, thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening, talking us through the imperative for triple BEE and saying it is the only way forward to grow our economy. Really appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And as you know, we've been broadcasting from the Sandton Convention Center where the B20 is taking place. We're now going to listen into Nonkululeko Nyembezi, the chairperson of the Standard Bank Group, and the presentation that she had earlier at the top of the hour. Pamela Modene is waiting to take you through Point of View. Good evening.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.